Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime. Hello, Donna. It's Josephine and Donna here. We're on Radio Gorgeous. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
Gosh, so this time of year, what are you up to in the evenings? You know what I'm doing? Watching telly.
Telly.
Oh, I love telly.
There's good telly. Wolf Hall.
Did you think it was good?
Fantastic.
I thought nothing happened.
You know, I watched the first episode.
Oh, I haven't done the second yet. Does it liven up?
Yeah. I mean, well, I loved the books.
Okay.
And it's very faithful to the books in that
That's everything... That's why I've got no idea what's going on. That's the biggest complaint. Everyone says it's travelling back in time. And that's why I gave up the books. I didn't know what was going on. But you stuck with the books.
I love the books, and I'm waiting for the third one, and I'm just staring at Mark Rylance.
You fancy him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone who's watching does.
This character isn't that sexy, but I think because you're a fan of his.
Exactly.
Aren't you? You're a groupie. Yeah,
I am. I think he spends probably more time in costume in his life than he does that, like in period costume than out of it.
It's probably in his pajamas when he's relaxing,
exactly.
learning lines.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I've been looking, I'm back on, you know, it's the time of year for box sets, isn't it?
Yes.
So I was going to talk about kind of how we, because I'm really into box sets, me and my husband. Are you and your husband?
Yes, we're still catching up with Breaking Bad.
Okay, so where are you now in Breaking Bad?
I think we're in series 3 out of 5.
Okay, so I had it delivered last week, the whole box set. So what did you start with? I started with Mad Men.
Yeah.
Because I, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I said to a friend, I said, look, I really want to start this box set thing. What do you recommend? And she said, you would love Mad Men. And God, I've loved it.
I've adored that series. We had to get the series again with Netflix or Love Film.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, who's consistently home?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, over a 10-week period.
I think we actually, to be honest, we got it through Love Film. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who
do
you love in it? Who do you enjoy in Mad Men?
More so than the characters. I love how everything was done at that time.
So you like the styling of it.
Yeah. So, and like they have a picnic and then just chuck the whole thing out the car.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't give a shit. So you like it because it's un-PC.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
It's pinching bottoms. It's drinking too much at work. Divorcing badly.
Yes.
You know, it's more like real life, isn't it, to be honest?
Drunk at the country club.
At first, I fancied Don Draper, but now I really think he's a sex addict.
Yeah?
Yeah, he really is.
And
he's not loyal or faithful to any woman. He's self-destructive. You know who I fancy, which is a bit of a shock?
Who?
Roger Sterling,
yes.
The grey one.
Yeah.
He's so naughty and bad. He's like the naughtiest of all, don't you think? Mm. But fun as well.
Well, and he also takes care of his ex-wives. And,
Yes, so he's a good man to marry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas Don, I wish Don was back with Betty, don't you?
Yes.
Betty
was better with Don, too.
Yeah, yeah.
She was good and bad.
Yeah, yeah. So did you like Betty?
Mm.
Yeah. And then what about Peggy Olson? She's been a kind of, she's a feminist sort of pin-up now, isn't she?
She is. I mean, but what was amazing to me was that pregnancy.
Yes,
that's
right at the beginning.
Oh, and that whole hidden, women's hidden lives, and just that whole idea of hidden lives, Don's hidden life, everyone's just hidden life.
Yeah, because then you just couldn't be out. So she had to, because she was a strict Polish Catholic, I think she was, and she had to give up her baby.
To her sister.
Oh, yeah. God.
And now her parents never spoke of it.
And now the sister's horrible to her and says, you can't play with the child and you can't look after it. Oh.
I'll tell you what, but the first box set, but it was on VHS.
Oh my God, we're talking.
Now this is going to go bad.
You're talking about Dallas?
No. Well, because I grew up in a very Anglo-centric household. So it was Fourth Size Saga.
Oh my God.
And Brideshead Revisited.
That's amazing.
That takes you back.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
You don't think about it, but
yeah.
And after that, the first one we really got into was The Wire. Do you remember The Wire?
Yeah. I've heard of The Wire.
HBO Who was that? Series.
Okay, so was that the beginning of well-made telly?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the HBO series. Mm. That was, you know, 6 Feet Under, The Wire. That Sunday night drama spot was really big. And that goes straight to box sets.
Okay, okay. God, you're really much more hot on this than I am.
I can sit and watch telly forever.
Now, the thing is that what we, then we obviously got into the killing, you know, but the, is it Norwegian or Danish? I think it's Norwegian.
Scandinavian.
I think it's Norwegian.
Or is it Danish?
Danish. Okay, it's Danish. We've just had one of the producers. Okay, yeah. One of the producers has just told us. Yeah, the killing, the woman with the woolly jumper on. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but I really found in the end, it's so depressing.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no light. It's too like England. So, you know, and also the accent's like really, but yeah, it got you. It's on your it sounds very northeast. It's just it gets to me. It's like going up north and all the bad things about it.
It's like the Newcastle of,
exactly.
of Scandinavia.
Exactly, yeah. So it's just
tak for die.
Yeah, and also you always think, oh right, we've solved it, and then then it's something else happens and it hasn't been solved, and it's like, oh bloody hell, this is going on. So I quite enjoyed it. So we thought we'd give Borgen a go, and Borgen's another Danish one.
Yes.
But we found it so dull. We only watched one because it's all about politics.
Yeah, we watch the Borgen thing. And then there's a story every week. It's like, oh, is it going to be about, you know, Danish pig farmers? You know, like the drama of Danish pig farmers. And then it's about, you know, there's always...
So you put up with it.
Yeah, put up with it. Put up with it.
We just thought we can't be bothered with kind of middle of the road politics, you know, in Denmark. As much. I just couldn't get excited. I'm sorry, Donna.
It's like, you know, like a drama based around the Lib Dems.
Exactly.
It's hard to get excited about it. You know. Oh, you know, the most exciting thing was like parking tickets, you know, tickets.
Wow. That's, yeah, exactly. Really breaking the law. Yeah, yeah, because they're such safe people. Now, talking about ooh la la, dirty people, the French. No, because they wear more perfume than anybody else in Europe because they don't wash. They use it as antiperspirant.
I'm with them. Hey, oh, just spray and go.
We don't smell today.
It's a Wednesday. I bathe special.
Okay, once a week. So The Spiral, I'm watching it and I'm really enjoying it.
I love Spiral. I've seen all three. I think this is the fourth series.
So this is made by Canal and this is French. And the
Engrenage.
Yeah, and the main woman is called Laure Bertheau. She's like the opposite of a French woman. I think they've done this on purpose.
Yes, she's as grungy as
she's
you please.
She's grungy. She always wears the old sheepskin coat. Her hair's tied back with just completely messy. And she's always in a bad mood.
Yeah, she's
always
grumpy, just, yeah. And stroppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Uncooperative.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullshit.
Yes, yeah.
And you definitely just want to, you know, she's got dandruff on her shoulders. You just want to give her hair a good wash.
You do. And she's she hates people and she drinks too much whiskey. And the first time I watched it was this series. And the first thing that happened was she pulled down her pants and she was kind of, I think she was having a sort of abortion or something. Oh, it was revolting and blood everywhere. No, it's kind of earthy. It's too earthy. But I am enjoying
that said.
It's got more going for it than the Scandi dramas.
It does, because the character, again, there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, oh, we're going to have extreme characters in order to create more drama. However, the judge, Juge Robon,
yes.
is fab.
Yes.
And
the grey-haired man that's quite yes. weird, kind of grey stick insect.
Yeah, he's a fabulous character. He's the most amazing hand.
Yeah.
I just love my favorite thing about that show, because there's two of them on Saturday nights, back to back. And always at the beginning, if they give you scenes from the week before, they say, précédemment dans Engrenage.
What does that mean?
Previously on Spiral.
Oh, you're so amazing. Listen, everybody, she can speak German and French. Next week, we're going to have Donna speaking German. Thanks so much for listening to Radio Gorgeous. Now, who is our guest?
We have two guests. They are the actresses from the play The Separation, which is about what it was like to be separated in a country, Ireland, where divorce was illegal until 1995. I'm here with Susan Stanley, producer of The Separation, and with Roxana Nick Liam. Okay, and this is based in Ireland.
Based in Ireland in 1995, just before the second divorce referendum.
Which passed, I understand, by an incredibly slim margin.
Yes, really slim margin, which is crazy to think that that was only 20 years ago. That divorce was legalized in a country right next to the UK. It's insane.
Yeah, it was 51% to pass by. And then also the terms and conditions where you had to be separated for 4 years before the divorce went through.
4 years.
Yeah.
And so this is the story of a family undergoing that. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Separation.
Yes.
How long have they been separated? What's their story?
They've been separated for 6 months and they've been married for 18 years. But the marriage has been, turbulent and difficult. And the lead guy, and would you say it's his story? I mean, it's everyone's story, but but he is a charmer, you know, gorgeous, charming, intelligent, successful man living in a suburb in Dublin. And then as it turns out, he's also a father, and he's an ex-husband. He's also cheated on her many times. He's an alcoholic. And he has this really dark, dark side. So I think, I think it's universal themes, really, isn't it?
I definitely think so.
And it's really representative of Irish people because it's there's so much darkness, but on the top, it's all kind of funny.
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com.
The term The Separation, a lot of people in Ireland, when I was growing up, I was a teenager in the 90s, and you would just hear that term, oh, my parents are separated. And when you come over here, that term isn't really used. So that's why it's also called a separation.
Yeah, because people would say, my parents are divorced, or my parents aren't together.
Exactly.
The state of being separated was a long-term thing.
Yeah.
And it was this being held in this horrible stasis.
Yeah.
One of the phrases they used a lot was deserted when a man left. They never said he left her. It was like, she's deserted, but he might come back to her. Like that was one of the arguments of the against divorce was, it's better to be married and him not live with you than to be divorced and against the Catholic Church. But it was it's just crazy how
he's just on walkabout.
Yeah,
10 years.
It just wasn't an option. I mean, that's the thing, is that it wasn't even. When people were separated, they never spoke about it. My parents never married, which was a huge, huge deal.
Ooh.
It was like, and again, I never told anyone that. When they separated, they split up when I was 8, and I just never told. And it's a similar thing in this where, Stephen, the main character, doesn't tell anyone.
No, and my parents were the same. They broke up when I was 10, and nobody knew. Like, no one in school, no one talked about it. It was just, I'm sure people knew, but it was not spoken about. And the play, one of the biggest themes in the play, I think, is shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was so much shame as a child and for the parents that if you were separated or not together, or there was a lot of alcoholism as well, that wasn't talked about,
So when you guys were at school and your parents, because you were both quite young, you were 8, you were 10. Mm-hmm. And you said nobody talked about it at school. Did you know other kids who were in the same situation?
But this is the thing, is that now I know there was. But at the time, I remember thinking, I must be the only person in the world to have parents.
Me too.
Now that, I look back and there's people who are like, my parents split up when I was... And I'm like, I never would have known that. And that was part of the shame, was people making you think that you were the one that was the odd one out.
Well, it sort of makes sense now when hearing all this, it's sort of, something else with the Catholic Church tying in with a lot of the sexual abuse of children, is this atmosphere of not saying anything. Yeah. You guys were taught that, the sins of the sins of the mothers and fathers are your sins.
Yeah, exactly.
This is,
And that's why this is set in a living room, because with a window, because it's what goes on inside a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out to the world and it's like, but you could be punching or sexually abusing or whatever, and it will not be discussed outside the home. The home is like sacred, and it's like, microcosm of the Catholic Church.
And so that it just barely passed. What do you think was the momentum to get it passed? Was it all these things just bubbling up? And people, so. You know, going away and coming back and saying, you know what, there's other ways to live.
Yeah, yeah, it must be. I mean, I don't know what kind of just luckily pushed it over that line, but there, people must have been brave enough to go, okay, we do want this.
And I think that was it. I think basically just a few people started talking about it publicly. You know, like, because all these marriages were, people were living in absolute misery. Because that's just what you did. There's no alternative. There's no people are too poor to move away, you know.
I would say the scenario when he left was probably the best case scenario.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if he wouldn't leave, I mean, you couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Women couldn't leave.
Because you had your kids. Where do you go?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And again, like I said, it passed by that 1%. It was so small. And now, like, even the most right-wing conservatives, I mean, they all get divorced. You know,
everyone's doing it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why bother getting married?
But I think the thought of, like, if anyone ever went back now and said, "I want to bring back a bill to make divorce illegal," they'd be laughed out of the. Mm. And I think it's the same with, you know, like gay marriage now and whatever.
So the referendum on gay marriage is coming up.
Mm. Yeah.
And as we were discussing just a little bit before, the exact same rhetoric of, you know, it'll ruin family values and it'll harm the children for gay adoption.
Does gay adoption is a huge kind of hot issue at the moment.
Do you think it's going to pass?
See, this is the thing.
Not with you girls down here.
I know.
You've got to go back.
But I think, like, it's funny because I think it will pass, but I think it might be, like,
it'll be
51%.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, if it does pass, it will just about pass. Because, you know, my mum, she's only, well, she's in her 60s, but she's complete, she can't comprehend it.
Whoa, yeah, I'm so surprised.
Because this is still one of those things that you were supposed, that's supposed to be inside the house.
Yeah, yeah.
That's supposed to be hidden.
Yeah, if you want to do it, but why do you have to, that would be her attitude.
Why do
well.
I have to see it?
Yeah, why do I have to see it? Why do you have to get married? And why do you have to bring children into it, you know?
Yeah.
It does seem that these freedoms that, as you say, feel so innate to us are fragile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And recent.
Yeah.
Those were the so tender recent. Shoots of liberalness, you know, and they have to be fed. And is that one of the sort of aims of the play?
I think, like, I mean, this was on in Dublin before, and
what was its reception like in Dublin?
We had a Q&A.
Oh, it was just shocking.
The amount of people who said, like, that's my story.
Well, for both of you, what is, I mean, the... You know, obviously your involvement in this play is an act against it. But what is the shame? How is that manifested in your lives?
Well, I've had a lot of therapy.
You've gone the American route.
I really have. RadioGorgeous.com.
I think shame especially applies to the women of Ireland, and it always has. I mean, they were second-class citizens for a long time, going back to, like, 1991 or 92, where it was still... I mean, you couldn't rape your wife. There was no such thing. Mm. It was still, it wasn't against the law. Contraception is a huge one. I mean, I remember my mum in the 90s couldn't buy condoms in a chemist. They would just be like, no, we don't sell that here. Mm. That was like 94,
that was
95.
In the 90s, I mean.
You know what I mean? And I mean, it did become legal in the early 80s, but I mean, that didn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
I think just.
Yeah, because there'd be shame attached in selling them.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean,
alone,
like,
buying them.
I mean, just even, you know, going on the pill, like, you feel so ashamed, and they make you feel ashamed even now.
And it is changing, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
There's one other thing when we were talking about deserted wives. I don't know whether they have it here, but there was a thing called the Deserted Wives Allowance from the government. And that was the official title. And you think how disempowering that is.
Wow.
The Deserted Wives Allowance, because my mom was on it.
Well, but all of those, you know, deserted and allowance. It's someone else is giving, is naming you. You're
that's
not even,
it.
It's not even an active
no,
term.
No, that's what I mean.
You
know, you're so disempowered. Absolutely.
Yes, it's passive.
And you're just left there. And you can just imagine this deserted woman sitting on a chair, like, with kids running around.
And it's their choice of words constantly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Second class citizens.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's like
deserted wives.
But then
I didn't get married.
Imagine if you were, imagine just that title on yourself. I'm a deserted wife and I'm getting an allowance.
They've allowed me to. Well, because how could you go out? Exactly, they've allowed me to feed my children.
Feed my kids. I mean, that's really good of them.
Yeah.
So much government.
Horrendous.
Right, now tell me about this production. We're here at Theatre 503,
the Latchmere Pub. In Battersea, yeah. Gorgeous little theatre. It's Richard's first play, Richard mm-hmm. Molloy's first play, and we had a production in Ireland in June at the Project Arts Centre. We couldn't believe how well it went. And here we are, and we had our second preview last night, and it runs until the 21st of February.
it's been strange doing it for, because we were kind of going, like, obviously because the Irish watched it and they all identified with it in Fenna Therapeutics, so we were going, well, what would the English think?
And also,
it's going to be like, you idiots.
Yeah, like, also, or that kind of attitude of like, well, why didn't you just leave him? I mean, why are we talking about this for an hour and 20 minutes?
Like, we had, like, just even I was going, will they get the humour? Will they get, you know, the turns of phrase? But they were hanging on it. They were laughing. Because this is the thing. We've actually made it sound like the bleakest play of all time.
But it's a comedy. So
it is funny. Swear.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good luck with the show. What's next for you? Are you going to keep producing?
Or? So we'd love to take this to New York.
Yeah. We've invited some all your New York friends.
Exactly. Good luck and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And thank you so much to Cast from The Separation. And thank you so much, Donna Freed, for coming on the show today. Thank you so much, Ella, for editing. And this has been a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2015. Thanks for listening.